Introducing Rabbi Nachum Liebtag on a Friday morning to go Sefer Yeshayahu.
We jumped around. We did Hanukkah-related stuff. So now we can go back to where we were in Yeshayahu itself. Then we'll do another week or two. I'm pretty sure 929 is finishing Yeshayahu and starting in Yirmiyahu soon.
Yeah, I think we're on 54, 55, something like that.
Okay, for a start, I'll give you something for 59, because just a glimpse of something in Yishayel, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the book. Look in Perek Nun Tet, something for general knowledge. Yishayel has like a tremendous effect on them. That's just on Judaism. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's pretty good.
I don't know if it's air conditioning or heat, because I can't see it.
As long as you hear the noise.
See, he's an electrical engineer. So
look at the last two lines. The last two lines of Perek Nun Tet in Yishayel. Tell me if they look familiar. Perek Nun Tet Pasachav.
It does look familiar, but...
See them? Perek Nun Tet in Yishayel.
That's what we say every day.
Nun Tet. Perek Nun Tet, 59.
I said this morning. At the end.
Yeah. We say it quite often, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, daily, we have a daily dosage of this.
What?
Yeah. Most we don't realize they're sukkim next to each other. Because we think it's in the center, right? And therefore we just say it with kavana without havana. Now, for the fun of it, is that pasuk, is that tefillah or tehillah? In davening, is it part of a tehillah section or a tefillah section? The whole. I'll back up. In davening, sometimes we just quote Perkim and Tanakh or Tehillim, like lock, stock, and barrel. Like we quote Shema, we quote like Tehillah David until the end of Tehillim, like the last six Perkim, Perkim Zimra. Yichavod, we're quoting Psukim, but we're jumping from place to place. So sometimes we have mosaics of Psukim, and every once in a while we actually have rabbinic written liturgy, like Yiratzba Fanecha, Chish Baruchu Kach Balmazeh, V'dich Evin Yerashtov Yishimat V'chayel Mabah, V'mang Tzimach V'chayel Mabah, Shemal Ayud Amdecha. Okay, we just quote through the pasuk in there. But every once in a while, we actually have real, Shemun Esrei, we have our real words. That's rabbinic. But most of our Siddur is quoting from Tehillim, or from Pesukim in Nevi'im. Sometimes it's direct quotes, and sometimes it's a mosaic of a. I don't want to say mosaic because that's the stuff from Chumash.
Compilation.
And every once in a while, it's just a regular old prayer, which is very rare to actually have a regular prayer. But in general, is Avodat Zion, would you consider it a prayer or a praise? For example, Pesukim Nezimer is mostly praise, right? Almost all praise. So what would you say, it's praise or prayer?
Prayer.
And what are we praying for? I guess for a gula. Now, I'll give you a proof it's prayer. Because in the morning, what do we say if you're davening in shul? What do we say after Avodat Zion? We have Kaddish, right? What Kaddish do we have there? No, after Avodat Zion.
Tiskabel.
We have Kaddish Shalem, which is called Kaddish Tiskabel, which is only once a setting. It was, for every Shmon Esrei, you have one Kaddish Tidkabel. Whenever you have Kaddish Tidkabel, means you just finished a prayer service. That's exactly what it means. Right. The Chatzi Kaddish beforehand is a build-up. Remember, Kaddish, Chatzi Kaddish, by the way, Chatzi Kaddish is praise or prayer? The first half of Kaddish is praise or prayer?
Praise. It sounds like praise.
Sounds like praise?
No.
It sounds like prayer.
Is that third option?
What? Well, if you read it carefully, it's prayer for praise. Right? Right? Isn't it? We're praying that our praise of God will be successful. Because that's what we've been doing. We're praying that God's great name should become greater and greater.
No, I said right on. But I meant like what phrasing makes it sound like prayer.
It's a prayer.
Okay.
We're asking God that we're hoping that God's great name will get greater and greater. We're not saying that his, we're not saying his name is great. We're hoping that it gets greater and greater. Right? And this we're on the road to come. And then what's everyone answer? Right on, not right on, but Yehi Shmei Rabbah, that God's great name should indeed become greater and greater. Okay? And it should be blessed and step up. But it's a prayer. We're not praying for health and wealth and killing our enemies and right wing. And we're not praying for our needs. Rather, we're praying that our goal to sanctify God's name and make His name known be accomplished.
Did you call it Bakisha? I mean, it's not, it's a prayer book.
When I say prayer, I don't mean prayer like prayer book. When we say prayer book, it's really a praise book. It's like a, like what we call a siddur is really an organization of different obligations we have and just putting it in the right best order. Mm-hmm. But I'll use the word petition. How's that?
Okay.
When I mean prayer, I mean petition. When you're asking for your needs. Classic prayer is for health, wealth, you know, getting more than your neighbor. We're hoping. It's what you're hoping for. Every once in a while, we're praying. For example, we pray that our Torah study be successful, don't we? What do we pray for that? No, there we're praying that Birchas HaTorah should be Birchas HaNeni. We're praying that we should enjoy it. We're not praying to understand it. We're praying that we should enjoy our study. So we're trying to turn it into a Birchas HaNeni after Birchas HaMitzvahs in the morning. But in the middle, right before we say Shema, in the bracha before Shema, we throw in a little prayer that our understanding of the Torah will be, that we'll be able to understand the Torah properly. Remember? That's a prayer for our needs, but not a prayer for health and wealth. It's a prayer for to be successful in our Torah study. Okay? Why we say it, that's a different story. Now, so Uvalitzion is clearly a, what do you call it? A prayer. In fact, it's one last prayer. Because, and the proof is, we say Kaddish Tidkava after saying Uvalitzion. Now, when it's Rosh Chodesh, we have a little mess, so we do it. Because you have to Ashrei before Shmuel Esrei, but then we're stuck. So then we just throw it, then we do it. It becomes the introduction to Shmuel Esrei instead of the end of Dalim. But it's still, again, it's still Kaddishit Gadol afterwards. But you'll never say a Velitzion not followed by a Kaddishit Gadol. Now, why is it prayer? Now, look at the first line of prayer in the Tet. Yishayahu Nun Tet. This was just a stall until everybody came, so it worked. Yishayahu Nun Tet.
Before
Musaf, yeah. But we're adding a Velitzion that's stuck in between. So we say Kaddish Shalem after Hallel, because we finished one, and we have to say another Kaddish Shalem after Musaf, because there's one Kaddish Shalem for every Shmoneh Esrei. So therefore, but let's deal, and we're stuck in between, so we put it...
Is that why the Ikar Halacha, what we don't do always, that you shouldn't switch Chazan for a vote, for Ashrei at the end?
Because leads into Musaf, yeah.
No, I'm saying because the Kaddish Shalem is related to Shmoneh Esrei, And you had one chazan saying Shmoneh Esrei, he's the one that
should say Kaddishit Gadol, yeah, instead of switching from.
We don't tend to follow that.
Yeah, there's logic there, but then there's also things about. There's also Sakaris Nefashos, that people kill each other who gets to lead prayer when they have a few to say Kaddish.
Right.
That's why more than one person says Kaddish.
Yeah.
If one person says Kaddish, it doesn't make any sense for Kaddish to be up to the races.
Right.
You know, Kaddish should be like. Kaddish is usually, I call it, off to the races. You know what off to the races is? You know, like a horse race.
They do that in some shows. There's only one guy who says Kaddish.
That's the Kaddish for everybody. It's such a personal thing because you're saying Kaddish for seven passes on.
Yeah.
So you have to say it yourself.
Yeah.
So they solve the problem that everyone says it together in the middle.
Right.
But when it's off to the races, it just ruins the whole idea of Kaddish.
Right.
That's not praising God. That's like, it's like a horse race and not like... Praising God is when everyone says something in unison. It's like having a meal of 10 people and everyone mumbling like at different times, oh, the chicken was good. It's like mumbling. Instead of one person saying, listen, that chicken was awesome, everyone's saying right on, right? Everyone's saying to themselves, mumbling, you know, how good the chicken was, and no one hears what anyone wants to say. It's what happens when prayer becomes liturgy. I mean, becomes voodoo. I'm getting off track. I'm trying to explain to you from Yishayahu. Why do we say that? Look how Perek Nun Tet begins. Pain lo katzra yad Hashem hoshia v'lo kabel tam mishmoa. What's that mean? God's hand is not too short to help, and his ears are not too heavy to hear. If God doesn't answer prayer, it's not because God's not able to answer prayer. But why? Ki im avonotechem v'yum avdilim b'nechem l'bein Elohechem v'chatotechem yistiru panim mikem mishmoa. What's Yishael saying? If God doesn't answer prayer, there's a good reason. Don't blame God, blame yourself. Now, and then he goes on about our bad behavior, which is classic Isaiah. Guess what he's complaining about? Not about Chilul Shabbat and Kikapechem nigalu badam v'espotechem b'avon v'sitrem diber sheker v'shkonech b'avon v'yeger inkor v'tzarek en nishmat b'munah v'toch ha'tov diber shab. Goes on and on. Classic Isaiah, right? If we're so bad, why does God keep on giving us another chance? What's the conclusion? If you do tshuva, God's willing to bring redemption. Why? Because of his brit. We're in our final prayer, we're introducing it. The sinner is assuming you know Yishayahu Nun Tet. And that's why Uvalitzion is our concluding prayer, usually. And saying that in case we just pray to God, in case God doesn't answer, we're explaining already to ourselves why God might not answer, but God could answer. On the one hand, we shouldn't be surprised if God doesn't answer our prayers, but if he doesn't, we're to blame, not God to blame. And we also recognize that no matter how bad we are, there's always a chance of recovery because of the brit, which is eternal. It's a real big theme in davening. I'm just trying to show you, it's just a little, for those who came late, but just giving an example of how Yishayahu affects our sitter, and like this, the key things of Isaiah are like really important. We sometimes don't take them for granted. Now back to let me go back to
before we started. We leave, you'll cover all the highlights.
The highlights of
Yishayahu.
No, we're not leaving Yishayahu. We're still in Yishayahu.
I'm
going back to the beginning of Yishayahu.
Right. You know, you said in a couple of weeks we're out.
Oh no, we're going to go. I want to get to Yirmiyahu within 2 weeks or so. I'm trying to follow 9 to 9. That's how we got started with this conversation. And 9 to 9 is in the 50s. Next week will be in the 60s. Now, Yishayahu, I'll just give a quick review. Yishayahu, we first about the time period, and we explained how the first chapter is like the best, is like a medley of like his key point, but not his first one. The main point we talked about is the opening chapter of Yishayahu is the time period of Uziel, when things are going great, when Israel was great. The kingdom was almost united. There were two different kingdoms, but they were working with each other beautifully. Uziel and Yoram, the second Yerobam. Our borders were great. We talked about how good the economy was. We talked about there's no superpower. Aram has fallen by the wayside. Ashur hasn't become a superpower yet. And it hasn't been so good since the time of Shlomo and David, since David and Shlomo. And that's why Perek Bet begins, by the next generation, this could be what we call Achris Hayom, and this could be great. But there's only one major problem. You've taken all that prosperity and become affluent and haughty.
Were all Jews coming to the Beit HaMikdash?
The Jews are coming for sure. We're hoping even non-Jews will come. That's Kimitzion Tetzei Torah V'Shafat Ben Goyim. We're hoping our goal of making a name for God and having an impact on the rest of civilization, we're at a point where it's almost achievable.
So even the Northern Kingdom came to Jerusalem?
Yeah. I mean, they had their own dog, but it was, as a people, we were united. It wasn't that like no one's allowed to, but they still had their own temple over there, because it's closer and stuff like that, but no one made a big deal about it. It wasn't, they weren't fighting about it like earlier.
There were no border crossings.
Yeah, they weren't calling it an Egel, you know. Like, it was when let's say there's a shul, like a Man Orthodox shul, right? And you don't like their hashkafa there, so that's Avodah Zarah. Going to that show is like Avodah Zarah. So calling Yerovam's Mikdash and Beit El an Egel by the Navi is like calling it, you guys are not legitimate. But they didn't call it an Egel, they called it. They themselves were praying to our God. The people in Beit El, that's the Navi, that's in Sefer Melachim. The Navi in Beit El, Navi in Shomron. The Mikdashim in Beit El and Dan. Those are Jewish people serving our God, the one God, our God. But just, that's why I compared to modern Orthodox or open, whatever you want to call it, where some people say that's straight, because it's not like exactly what halacha is supposed to happen. But the people davening there are sure they're davening, they're Jewish, and they're davening to their God. like, to the same God. It's a question over who's legitimate, what's the legitimate temple? What are you supposed to daven at? And that's why, you know, that's why there's so many arguments between, if Malchut David is not legitimate, then Yerushalayim is not legitimate, and then Beit El becomes legitimate. And that's why there's a big argument whether Malchut David is really what God wanted. That's the background to Sefer Shmuel. Now, so we explained that from Perek Bet through Hey, of Isaiah is his great hope, and his main point is what's going wrong, and that's the famous Bashal HaKerem, which we spend time on, that we're almost there, simply take that prosperity and use it to do Mishpat and Staka, instead of corruption and the rich taking advantage of the poor. Then we saw that through Perek Hey, and we even saw it at the end of Perek Hey, we saw the, I mentioned the Santa Claus, remember, in Perek Hey? That was, clause was supposed to be a pun. Look in Perek Hey. Perek Hey is Mashal HaKerem. I know we talked about that. It's my favorite topic. It's a great Mashal. But in Perek Hey, in Yeshayahu, after Mashal HaKerem, look how every Pashya begins. In Pasuk Chet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet, Pasuk Chet, Pasuk Chet Aleph. Oh, see the Pashyot? Yeah. So I call it the Santa Claus. The improvement of American I'm talking about. It's drinking in wild parties and stuff going together with taking bribes. It's a great snapshot of a corrupt, of a society which in general is religious and Jewish, etc., but corruption in and out. He's worrying, and he's predicting things are going to get bad. Just jump ahead a little bit. In Perek Yud Pasuk Hey, we'll get there slowly, but just take a quick look in Perek Yud Pasuk Hey. Poi Yashor Shevet Api. Just the first line is enough. Umate will be Adam Zami, Begoy Chanef HaShachena, Al Nevrati Yatzabena. What's Yishayahu's main point going to be? Because you didn't listen to the call of fixing the society in the time of Uziel, I'm going to bring Ashur, they're going to be the new superpower, and they're going to wipe you out. And I'm sending Ashur, I'll call Ashur, I sent them, even though they're Rishayim, but I'm allowing them to become successful to wipe you out. And I just reviewed the key point I tried to make, because we'll see if it's Yishayim. Yishayim's biggest problem is that when Ashur comes in, Ashur is the arch enemy of Israel during the time period of Yishayahu, during those four kings. And Ashur is super successful. And basically, they wipe us out. The first monarchy is basically wiped out by Ashur. Jerusalem's recovered last minute. The 10 tribes are gone. And the people don't understand, because we were so frum, so religious, we were so Jewish, how did God let Ashur wipe us out? So first we prayed to God, and God didn't answer our prayers. Why? Because we weren't worthy. Even though we prayed to Him, but we weren't worthy of God answering. Because God didn't answer our prayers, we went to other gods to pray to them. Got it? And then God got even more angry. That's the Sabbath Azor. That's the Sabbath Azor side. And then what happened? And then finally it gets so bad that the other gods don't help us. That's what Achaz means. Achaz closes down the temple. He's like, Achaz is super angry with God. We'll get to that soon. Finally, Chizkel recovers and returns to God. It's a bit too late already. And Jerusalem saves at the last minute. But it's a bit of a fair victory. And the fallout is so bad that Menashe, you know, throws everything away. But the main job of Yishayahu is to explain to the people, how could it be that the God of Israel doesn't help his people? And basically the people are blaming God, and Yishayahu is saying, blame yourself. Okay? Now, we saw that in Sherat Hazino also, or not? I think so. Can we explain why the book began with Hazino Shemayim? Why the first line is, I guess we didn't do that. We didn't see it inside. So let me just do just as long as we're here in Perek Hey, go back to the first line of Perek Vav.
That's my point.
This is Daf Torah for Parsha Yitro. Okay. Now, Perek Vav is known as a Nevuah of Hakdasha. So what I mean? Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush is Hakdasha. The first chapter of Yirmiyahu, Hakdasha. First Perek in Yechezkel, the first time God appears to a Navi and introduces himself, that's called a Nevuah HaKdashah. I don't know how to translate it into English.
Inauguration.
What? Inaugural Prophecy? Okay. And there's a big argument among the commentators. Is this the inaugural Nevuah Tishayahu? Because it sounds like one. The problem with it being inaugural is, one, it's not the beginning of the book. And number two, it's at the death of Uzziel. And Uzziel was one of the first kings, you know, in the list there. And it doesn't make sense that we consider Yishayahu a prophet in the time of Uzziel. And the first prophecy is the year he dies. So some people say it was the year he got Sarah. That sounds one way out of solving it. But the other problem is, the whole message of Yishayahu in chapters 2 to 5 is exactly during the high point of Uzziel, not after he dies. Mm-hmm. Now, the other approach could be, it's not a nevuah, it's not inaugural, but rather, it's a turning point. It's a turning point where they haven't listened, and now he's explaining the turning point where now God's taking the Shekhinah away. So it's not a nevuah of God coming to a Navi, but it's the nevuah to the Navi that God decided to leave. Yeah.
I thought that we had gone to our shore ourselves to get them to attack Aram, to pull Aram away from our northern border in this geopolitical scene.
Yeah, we did.
And later, we decided to cancel paying them tribute. And
we're going back and forth between what to do. Again, during the time of Uzziel, Ashur is a nobody. We have to worry about them at all. Towards the end of Yotam, we start getting trouble. And during the time of Ahaz, that's when Ashur gets in, and that's we keep on changing our mind. Are we going to join Ashur? Ahaz is going to send money to Ashur to get rid of Aram, to get rid of Israel.
And if we just would have paid tribute and stuck their idol there, and you know, things would have been fine.
Yeah, we don't know for sure.
We didn't. So they came down to attack. I mean, it was all about money.
They were on. Ashur wanted to conquer the whole Middle East, no matter what. What they're saying, what they would have, what they could have, was like with Iran.
No, but I mean, if you just paid them off, they weren't attacking. We just stopped paying.
It could be, but it could be they would have attacked anyhow. But that was just a way to collect money before. You want to take them over, you want to give them the feeling, you know, why bother? I don't think Ashur saw us as an ally. Only when it was, you know, useful for them. We'll see later on. Now back to the Perek Vav. So again, B'Shamot HaMelech Uzziel B'Eret Hashem B'Yoshev HaKisei Ram HaKisei Kama Ram V'Nisa B'Sholam Melech Metecha Sofim D'Mehalo. This is a famous vision he has of the Shekhinah. They talk about, we'll do this later in detail, but in the middle of it, after the whole vision with the whole famous Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh, which we have to go back to later on, he says the reason why people think it's a nevuat about the Shah in Pasuk Zayin, says Vaygal Pi Vayomer Hinei Negazal Svodecha V'Samei Avodecha V'Tekhu Tukupa. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Where he says Mieshlach Lanu. Oh yeah, בפסקת, so בשבת כל השם אומר, את מי ישלח ומי ילך לנו, ואמר, הנה שלחני. God's looking for someone to be his messenger. And Isaiah accepts the challenge, very different than Moshe. In fact, the whole midrash about Moshe, with his aras fatayim, is because someone touched the coal on his lips, it's taken from here. Listen, but you're not going to understand. We saw before. This nation, their ears are too heavy to hear. Your job is to warn them, but they're not going to listen. And it's going to get really bad. He says, "Yomer ad matay, aresh yoshev harim, mein yoshev, uvati mein adam, badamat yishay shmama, v'chashem min adam, rabas v'bav v'akev v'aretz." Basically, so it could be, this is his first nevuah, which really doesn't make sense if I follow up, if I read that already. Or it could be, that's why I must say, it's a turning point nevuah, where Yeshua has been warning the people about how they have to, and they haven't, and God's now deciding, I'm going to bring in Ashur, I'm going to bring in the enemy to punish, and he's looking for a volunteer, who's going to be the bearer of bad news. Now, up until now, Yeshua just said, to improve your ways. Now, who's going to come and tell them about the Gzar Din? And Yeshua's quick to volunteer. So we can say, I told you so, pretty much.
Why is that necessary?
Why what?
Okay, they didn't do tshuva, they're going to get punished. Okay. Why do they have to know beforehand that they're getting punished?
So maybe they'll do tshuva. No, when you say there's no way you can do tshuva, that's like playing the devil's advocate.
Well, the God's telling them in the to tell people that they're going to get the...
There's a difference between an early warning,
right.
There's a difference between brush your teeth and don't eat chocolates, you know, and then when you get your cavity, you still shouldn't do that, but the way you deal with it, once you have a cavity, you deal with it differently. You know, who's going to tell them they need a root canal? Who's going to tell them that the level of tshuva you need, once the punishment comes in already, I'll give a really bad example. I've used it before. The reason for, let's say a couple was dating, the reason to stop dating is very different than the reason once you're married to get divorced. You follow? Understand what I mean? You reach a certain point in a relationship where you're doing something, and then when you've done something bad, it's got to be, there's a difference between God telling the people, your society's a little bit off, get things right now, otherwise I might come and punish you, or you reach the point where I got to bring a punishment, and now the punishment's there, you got to do a heck of a lot to get it back where you were before. It's like chemistry is better when something goes from from liquid to a gas. You remember what it's called?
Just heat. Introducing heat into the system.
Yeah, but the change, you know, it's changing. It's like the liquid's getting hotter and hotter. Once it turns to a gas, it takes a lot more energy to bring a gas back to a liquid again. Mm-hmm. You know, you reach a certain turning point that is reversible, but it's going to take a lot more energy to reverse it than in the beginning. Now, in Perek Zayin is the thing about Achaz. We'll get to that history in a minute. But what I want to show you now is I want to show you why the book begins with. Next week we're going to do the history of Achaz, Yotam and Achaz. We'll see in Malachim, and we'll see how that's going to explain. I'm going to do mainly next week the Prakim from Perek Zayin to Yud Bet, which is a classic. Yud Aleph Yud Bet is the cool stuff. It's the old Haftarot for Yom Ha'atzmaut and stuff, with the classic Melech HaMashiach. But in Zayin to Yud is about Ashur coming in. But to understand the whole background to Isaiah and why he begins his opening line with Shimu Shamayim Shinu Aretz, he's building his whole Hashkafa on Shirat HaZinu. Okay? I guess we didn't do Shirat HaZinu. It's real simple though. How many people here have heard of Shirat HaZinu? You all heard of it, right? It's a Parsha in Shavuot. If somebody asked you, what's the song about? Can you answer? You have no idea, right? Is there a topic to the song? Shirat Hayam, you've heard of, right? What's the topic? We don't. Thanking God for Kriyat Yamsuf. Shirat Dvorah. Remember, a duet. We know what it's about. It's praising God for the victory over the battle in the Kisrael with Dvorah and Dvorah. But what's Shirat Hazinu about? And what's there to sing about? There's a reason why no one knows about it, because it's... What? Okay, but how's it different than everything else? It's not just about
It's about an event that happened. It's about what may happen or will happen, and why.
But there's a need for... There's some reason why this song is sort of like comes together. It's like, I call it a parody bit at the end of Chumash. In other words, you have the Torah and the Tochot, and on top of that you have Shirat HaZinu. You have a Shirah, which is sort of an add-on to Chumash. This guy says, write the Torah and take the Shirah and put it next to it. It's sort of like a companion to the Torah. So luckily, to understand the Shirah, because the words are very hard, luckily the Shirah has an introduction in Parsha Be'elah. And one of the things that confuse us is Parsha Shavua, that we start the Parsha with Shirat HaZinu and don't really begin where Shirat HaZinu begins. Look in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Dvarim, Lamed Aleph, Yud Dalet, yeah. Parsha Be'elah, Sefer chapter 31, verse 14. Just take a look. Chapter 32, Lamed Bet, Shirat HaZinu. From Yud Dalet to the end is the introduction to Shirat HaZinu. If you don't read the introduction, you can't understand the Shirah. Got it? Let's read the introduction. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hein kabu yamecha lemut. Time to die, your career is over. Kral Yoshua b'tyatzvu bo hamoed v'tzaveno. Call Yoshua, and I'm going to command him. Vayelach Moshe b'Yoshua b'tyatzvu bo hamoed. God says, we're having a huddle. You're the outgoing leader, Yoshua's the new guy. Kap to hamoed, I want to bring Yeshua in it. Bat means bat sabeno, means I'm going to charge him. No. So Yeshua comes to oil with Moshe, and God comes to the oil. And what should the next line be? Don't read ahead. What should the next line be? He says, call Yeshua to Omoed. I'm going to command Yeshua.
Bring him in.
He said,
hey, Yeshua, this is what you should do.
Okay. Now, surprisingly, what's Pasuk Tetzav? Tetzayin. Now, fast forward a little bit. And look in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayitzavet Yeshua Binun Vayomer Chazak Be'ematz Ki Ata Tavi Da Da Da. That should be the next Pasuk. Agreed?
Right.
If Pasuk Chaf Gimel was the next Pasuk, you would say something's missing. God says, call Yeshua to Omoed Vatzaveno. God comes to Omoed, and the next line should be Vayitzav Hashem Et Moshe. Vayitzavet Yeshua Binun Vayomer Chazak Be'ematz Ki Ata Tavi. We're changing leadership. But before we change leadership, what happens? God has to sort of whisper something to Moshe. Got it? Now, why it's inserted that way, it's too detailed for now. But let's see what God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why does Yeshua need to be there when God's whispering to Moshe?
Perfect question. In other words, he needs to overhear. In other words, this is something that Moshe needs to know, but Yeshua needs to overhear. And we'll see what the people need to hear. Now, Pasuk Tetzayin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hincha shochev imavatecha. It's no chiddush, but it means you're about to die. V'kam ha'am hazeh v'zana achrei Elohei nechar ha'aretz asheru v'asham v'kibo v'yazabani v'fer briti asher krati ito. I'll follow the Rambam's explanation. So, that's not saying what will happen, it's what's bound to happen. Understand? Like a teenager growing up, you're bound to talk back to your parents. Will it happen? Yeh b'char chavshi. But it's bound to happen. That's what happens.
Is that what we did in Yeshayahu? That the Nabi is telling the people that they're going to be in Sarot
Eved. Same, in fact, he brings several examples. The Rambam in Hilchot Shuvah talks about how is God punishing Pharaoh in Hilchot Shuvah Terekei and Vav. How does God punish Pharaoh for enslaving us? God said, Avram, reap in Tarim, you're going to be enslaved. And how is God punishing Am Yisrael, Sefer Shoftim? God told Moshe, they're going to follow other gods when they come into the land. So Rambam explains, God's not saying what will happen, what's bound to happen. It's like there's bound to be, 20 car accidents, on a highway. But every driver has Bechara Chavshi. Like that, there's a storm, there's bound to be, like, every winter, there's bound to be, and actually tell you X amount of people are going to get sick with the flu. But everybody has Bechara Chavshi to take a, right? But not everyone does. But it's bound to happen. That's how people write insurance policies. But the fact it's bound to happen means be aware of that so it doesn't happen. God's not saying you have no b'chera chofshi. He's saying be aware these things are bound to happen because that's the nature of civilization. Be aware of that so to make sure it doesn't happen. Which is exactly what Yishai was going to be talking about. That's why we need this tobacco in the center of both. He's not saying for sure Ashur is going to come and wipe you out. But now we're at a point where it's happening. You can still prevent it, but that's the way people are.
Right. It also doesn't necessarily need to be now. Meaning the timing could be.
Yeah, that's right. But it doesn't
you
have
could
to.
Push
happen.
It off. You could push it off.
Yeah, but it's bound to happen.
At some point, it's going to happen.
Like next thing in Gan Eden, it's going to happen sooner or later. Maybe happen a little too soon with Adam and Eve, but that's a different problem. No. So they're bound to sin, and then they're going to leave me, and they'll break the made with them. What's that bound to happen? That's what happens. You go to a new country, it's like a kid going off to college. Now, Am Yisrael is in the desert, like in camp all the time, in yeshiva. Now, they're conquered the country, they're in other lands, there's other cultures, other things they see. There's no mashgiach watching over them anymore. The land is about to conquer them. They're bound to go astray, and God will have to punish them to put them in line. So what's going to happen? What's Bayamahu mean? On the day that they break, they come and follow other gods. They stop being dedicated to the right God and follow other gods. What will happen? Vasaftim, then I'm going to abandon them because they abandon me. We start mehem bayalecho umtzo ro provot tzarot. I'm going to hide my face from them. We'll see what I mean in a minute. I'm going to leave them. Things are going to go bad. I'm going to explain something which I have to prove later on. They're going to pray to me. I'm not going to listen to the prayers. And I'm going to... Hester Panim, all through Tanakh, is when God doesn't answer prayer. Not when he's not watching, but when we pray to God, he doesn't answer our prayers. We'll prove it as we go on. I'm going to leave them and hide my face from them. And they're beaten up by their enemies. And all these terrible things will happen. But Amar Bayamahu, what's Bayamahu not mean?
The day that I leave them.
On the day that I hide my face from them and don't answer their prayers, what are the people going to say? Why are all these bad things happening to me? Because God's not with me. They're not blaming themselves here, they're blaming God. Well, I'll prove this in a minute. And that's why it's hard to understand this line. What's going to happen is, and that's why I try to explain what's happening in Yishayahu. You're going to go and live your regular life. You'll do things that aren't so kosher, aren't so good. God will get angry and punish you. Things go bad. Oh, he's your God. You turn to him and say, save me from this trouble. God won't save you. Why? Because you didn't do tshuva. But you pray to God. When God doesn't answer your prayer, you decide, I'm going to leave God. That happens all the time, doesn't it? If God's working for you, he doesn't answer your prayer, why serve him? So the second you're angry with God because he doesn't answer your prayer, what'll happen? You'll go to other gods. And then you blame God, and you say, what's the reason why things are bad? Because my God's not helping me. I'm going to continue to hide my face from them. Because they've turned to other gods after that. For sure I'm not going to help them now. So now, how can I get out of this mess? In therapy sometimes, you have to bottom out before you recover. You aware of that?
Yep, yep.
There's got to be a name for that. It's like a kid's going off, he's got to bottom out and then you can recover. Things have to get worse before it gets better. Called the Middle East. It's got to reach, it's got to reach a certain boiling point and then you can recover. But you have to wait for the person to totally fall and then he can recover. Because he has to realize how bad things are. And therefore, it's because of this situation, where I call it the Bruges game. We're angry with God because he doesn't answer our prayers. God's angry with us because we don't do proper tshuva. Because we're blaming God instead of him. Because we're blaming him instead of ourselves. At a certain point, it's got to break. Because this can't go on forever. Therefore, for that situation, write Shira Tazinu for when you reach rock bottom. So this will be the reminder. There's, I need a thing song when you're down in trouble, when things get really bad. What do you need to know? Ultimately, God can come and help.
There's a song.
You got a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Carol King.
Well, why couldn't they just say the Torah? What? Learn Torah? Because this is a concise. This is something that's concise. They can learn.
No. Because here's the point. That's exactly like Anizok Priti. Because you would think when it's so bad, at break point, you might think that no one cares about you. It's chesed sakal. You give up everything and you've given up God altogether. The answer is God's always. There's never a point of no return. Like you said, you've got a friend.
So this is an emotional thing? Because you could have said, study the Torah, learn the Torah, and do tshuva, and then
that's rest of Wimish. We have to do it in a song, though. That's why songs are so important.
Short enough to memorize.
Yeah. Now, sometimes you have a song, you know the words, you don't know what they mean. And the only one reason, oh my gosh, that's what the song meant. When you get older. No. Now he explains why I need the song. This is somebody says, now to answer your question. I'm going to bring them to the land that they're going to, a land flowing of milk and honey. Is that the prosperity that Yishai was talking about in Parak Bet? As opposed to you're going to come to a land that's great. And in the desert, you needed God. You had none. You were stuck. Now you're in a good land, you'll become prosperous. You're going to follow the fertility gods and the rain gods and the movie gods and all that stuff. I'll get angry with you, and you're going to break my covenant. When all these bad things happen to them, This song will answer the questions, what's bothering them, because they won't forget it, because they've learned it by heart. I know what's bound to happen. Before I bring it to that, I know this is bound to happen. It's a tahlich that's bound to happen, and this sir is like a fail-safe. How to recover when things get bad?
I mean, if things are going, if you're praying to a certain God and things are going good,
yeah, it's fine.
Why would you make a change?
No, because things, when things start going bad, if you don't follow the laws of the Torah and don't do the hata v'savat debrata, if you don't do the mitzvot, if you don't use prosperity for good and build a just society, God will get angry and start punishing you with outside enemies, with droughts and things like that. Then, if God doesn't answer your prayers, make things better, then you turn to other gods.
All right, but it's zavat chalav udvash v'achata v'savata v'dashen upana Elohim acharim.
Why? I mean, why are they turning to other gods? No, what's implicit here is that's why I did it. It's because you turned. It's because you turned to other gods. It's implicit that God's angry with you for your behavior, and then you turn to other gods.
Okay, so
there's a stage missing in between that was implicit from beforehand.
Okay.
That was in the introduction. And therefore, Bechtom Moshe Tashira Zobe Yemul Vilamdad Dunei Yisrael. Therefore, Moshe teaches a song. That's a song, it's like a safety net. Now, let's just read the beginning of the song, and you'll see what I mean. I'm going to skip the first three lines because they're introductory. The first three lines is not the message song, it's just introductory, but the introduction is important because it's Shemayim Ba'aretz, we're going to be the either the Edim or the people who can bring the punishment, being a ground or certain punishment. Now, but the first line of the song, like the Pasuk Gimel was like the introduction. Whenever I mention God's name, we learn like Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo from this. When you mention God's name, you praise Him, and then I got one more minute. Listen to the first lines. Hatzur Tamim Polo. What's that mean? Who's Hatzur? Tamim Polo means. He's always right. Now let's talk. Why? Ki chod racha mishpat. Elu munah ben avot tzadik v'yasharot. Before we begin the song, let's get one thing straight. God's never wrong. Now let's discuss who's to blame. Now, shichet lo, question mark. When something goes bad, are we going to attribute it to him? What's the answer?
No.
Lo, who's to blame? V'nabumam. L'riki shuftato. Crooked generation. Are you going to blame God for trouble? I'm not going to blame God for the Jewish people. God made you. God wants to do good for you. If He's punishing you, it's to train you. And then Hagimrim Sochorim Otolam, study history. What I'm getting at is that the whole point of Shirat Hazino is when things get really, really bad and you reach rock bottom, what do you need to know? Two things. God is always there to help you. God will never leave you. But don't blame God, blame yourselves. There's always room for tshuva. And that's exactly what's happening in the time of Achaz Chizkiyahu. That's exactly what's going to happen now during the lifetime of Yishayahu, where with Ashur coming over, we reach rock bottom. And don't be surprised, the opening line of the book is, Shimu Shamayim Hazino Aretz. Not to mention all the other themes we'll have in Shirat Hazino coming up. We'll see more of them. What I'm trying to get at is that the main prophetic message of Isaiah of recovery, no matter how bad things are, and to make sure that people don't blame God for the trouble. Remember, next week we'll see with Achaz. Achaz says, Achaz doesn't want to hear from God. The people are really angry with God. And Yeshua has to tell the people, be angry with yourselves, not with God. It's a very hard message to give people when you think you're doing good and your God doesn't help you.
Well, under Hezekiah, wasn't he the righteous king and the people were doing well? And
That's Perakal. Righteous as far as the Mikdash goes, but there's still more to be done. It's not easy to do total tshuva. Hmm. So we've got three examples of modern days. Okay, we'll stop here.